Revelation 13. Here, pretty soon, we're going to be introduced into the bride of the Antichrist. Let's go on and see what it says here. We saw the beast from the sea, and we cross-referenced it to several places in Daniel, and in 2 Thessalonians, and Matthew 24th chapter, Daniel 11, and Daniel 8, Daniel 9. And now, it says in verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, in other places, what did it say? It's very important. Sometimes when something's left out, it's very important. What does it leave out?
What the Spirit says to the churches.
To the churches. Thank you, Brother Randy. Why is it addressed to churches here?
Because the church is gone.
The church is up with the Lord. All right. Now, we have two witnesses on the earth, didn't we? Now, during the church age, who has the authority to preach the gospel?
The church.
The church. All right, the church. Now look over here to the chart. Here we are. Since Christ came, He administered, He called out His church, He put it into order. He said, I'll be with you until the end of the age, didn't He? All right. Now according to this chart, what is the end of the age?
The
That's when the rapture takes place. All right, the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Many of you say, yep, scriptures with us. There they are, right on the chart. And if you need one of these charts, I have some. So put your hand up, we'll get some to you. Anyway, at the rapture, now, who all is going to be raised right here?
Believers.
What happens at the rapture?
Believers go up.
Okay.
And the dead in Christ.
Okay, who goes up first?
Dead in Christ.
All right, the people that are dead. Now, let me tell you this. I had several people call me this last week. And they said about the resurrection. The Bible says, and of course in Thessalonians it talks about that, doesn't it? But it says, we who are alive shall not go before them who have died in Christ. Heaven. Now, when the Lord died and they put him in the grave. When he rose from the grave, what happened?
He got an immortal body.
He got an immortal body, but what else happened? What else happened? What happened in Jerusalem and thereabout?
Well, some people went out of the grave. The people came out.
The graves opened up and people were resurrected also. And why were they resurrected?
First fruits.
The first fruits of the resurrection. All right. Now, I don't know whether everybody in the Old Testament at that time was resurrected or not. Jesus had been in paradise, hadn't he? When he came up out of paradise with him, he said he led captivity captive, and he led them to heaven. All right? Up to the third heaven. We talked about that. Now, he led them up into the third heaven. Now, whether everyone in the Old Testament time, all the way from Adam to here, were resurrected at that time, I do not know. Maybe. Nobody knows. You remember I told you things, there's some things that I don't know? Well, here's one of them right here. Okay? I don't know whether everybody was resurrected or not. But we know that at this period of time, right here, that all those that are dead, maybe some of these people back here, and definitely everybody that died during the church age, their body, the ones that have died and been put in the ground, they are going to be raised and resurrected. They're going to stand up. And that is going to be one of the greatest witnesses to the end of the church age and the end of mercy. It's over with. Mercy, grace, the age of grace is gone. What's going to happen on the earth at that period of time? There are going to be people saved, but there is going to be a tremendous judgment. When people are saved at that time, they're going to have to die for their witness, aren't we? And we've talked about that. Now, no longer from this period of time on, the church is no longer here to witness and to preach the gospel. Right now, the church is supposed to preach the gospel. And the Lord said He would be with His church until the end of the age. We've studied that in the book of Ephesians and Matthew 28, 18 through 20 and Matthew 16 and 18, didn't we? We've studied this. Well, when the church is gone, one of the first things that we studied was about the two witnesses. The two witnesses with us. Why? Because the church is gone. Now we're going to have something else, someone else, or some people, other beings with us in here. Rosalie.
I just wanted to know, if we were to die right now, we wouldn't go to heaven right now.
Your spirit, your soul will go to heaven. Your body goes in the grave for safekeeping for the time.
Okay.
All right.
And so when they raise him from the dead...
At this time right here, if you die before the end of the church age, when the Lord comes back, you go up to be with the Lord. All right? You go up at that time, and everyone else. Then all the dead in Christ will go up to be with the Lord, okay?
So our spirit will go back to our body at that
no.
time?
No. After the resurrection, then God's going to bring your spirit back in body, your soul, you'll be a triune being, that you'll be triunely glorified and resurrected at that time. All right? So that's when that takes place. Now, we're in the tribulation period. Now, we're talking about over here in the book of Revelation. We're over here toward in the middle and past the middle of the tribulation period. Okay? Now, we already had two witnesses, and those two witnesses were killed, weren't they? And they laid on the streets, publicly televised all over the world. And they could see these people. For how many days did they lay there dead?
3.5 days.
All right? Why 3.5 days? Because that's exactly how long the Lord was in the grave. 3.5 days. All right. How long was Jonah in the fish's belly? 3.5 days, basically. All right. There was a reason for that. All that's types of what? Jesus being in the grave. All right. Let's go on now. Verse 10 says, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the preservation of the faith and of the saints. Who are the saints at this time? During the tribulation period, who are the saints?
All those that are being saved during the tribulation period, led by the 144,000.
Yeah, that's right. Israel now is taking the preeminence again. God has turned back to Israel. Look on the chart here. We're going to study the book of James starting in a week from Wednesday. We're going to finish the book of Ephesians. I'm going to finish it by today here at 9 o'clock. We're going to finish the book of Ephesians this Wednesday night, but the next week we're going to start on the book of James. All right? And the book of James is addressed to whom? The tribes scattered abroad. All right. The dispersion of Israel, Ezekiel 36:16-19, it talks about that. That's what was going to happen at the cross. All right? And it happened at the cross. They were scattered all over because of unbelief. What is the sign of the Lord's coming? The sign, what is the sign of the second coming? What is one of the signs?
Israel gathered.
The regathering of the nation of Israel. I'm talking about national Israel, okay? Ezekiel 36:22-24. We know that when Israel became a nation again, that was the beginning of the end. All right? And it's been how long? Almost 50 years. All right. Almost 50 years. Well, here we are now. We're in the tribulation period. Israel, after the rapture, God starts to deal with Israel. He starts to deal with them very harshly because now we have the tribulation period, the age of judgment. Why is the tribulation period coming upon the world? Two reasons. What?
Judgment.
Judgment upon unbelieving people, for one thing. Number two, actually it's number one, to bring Israel back to God. Okay? To bring Israel back to God. Now let's go on. In Revelation 13 and verse 11, and I saw another Therion. Therion. Remember what that word Therion is? Therion. There it is in Greek. That's the way you look at it in English. Therion. That means a swift-running killing machine. How many of you ever been out in the shark? Out in the ocean with a shark? All right. sharks are eating and killing machines. That's what they do. Matter of fact, almost all the fish out there, they're killing and eating each other all the time. But I like to call this theory on a land shark. He's a killing and swift running and killing machine. That's what this theory on this beast is. That's what where it comes from. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. What's the two horns like a lamb? What do you think that represents?
All religion.
Well, wait a minute. In the Old Testament, go back over here in the Old Testament, under the law, what did Israel have to bring every year?
A lamb.
All right? And it was a ram. It had horns, okay? So here we have a lamb. Now the lamb is supposed to represent whom? All the lambs back here represented who?
Jesus.
All right, the Christ, the Messiah. Okay? The sacrifice of God. So now we are going to have a antichristos, an antichrist. Someone instead of Christ. He is a false Messiah. Okay? But he's going to look like a lamb. All right? He comes in like the Messiah. All right? Like the Lamb of God, but he's not the Lamb of God. He is a false Christ. 1 John talks about these false Christs. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 11. Someone turn there. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 11. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 11. We have to look at this. Who's the... Brother Mike, you got it?
Yeah.
All right.
2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 11.
Yeah.
Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming.
All right, now we have the unholy Trinity coming. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they might believe what is false.
All right. Now, that's what's going to happen during this period of time. Paul told it to the Thessalonians. He told them about the second coming. He told them about what would happen during the tribulation period and how people would be deceived by this false Messiah. He said, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, the swift-running, killing machine, land shark. He had horns like a lamb. He had a power. And he was like a lamb. He was a false Messiah. All right? And he spoke as a what? Draconta. Huh? Dragon. What does that dragon represent? Satan. All right. Now we have the unholy Trinity coming on the scene. We have the Therion, and which is, every one of these are beasts. Okay? But they're political leaders. They're spiritual leaders. They have a church. A great big church, worldwide church, and we have military leaders. We already saw some of this in Revelation, the 6th chapter, didn't we? All right, how did the Messiah come? He came in on the platform of peace. If you'll just trust me, I will bring peace to the world. All right. Then he says here in verse 12, and he exercises all authority of the first beast. All right. And in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Remember when the first beast was killed? Probably, maybe, see, it's another thing I don't know for sure, all right? Maybe the two witnesses killed him. And here he lays dead. Now remember, the witnesses were killed. They were killed and were resurrected. Now all of this is a type of what Jesus did. Huh? What is it? The Lord does something and the devil imitates it, doesn't he? All right, the Lord founded his church and the devil founded a whole lot of them. Confused the world. To worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. In verse 13 now, somebody, who's got verse 13? Brother John, you have that?
He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
All right, this guy's a miracle worker, isn't he? Now, what happened in the days of Elijah?
Huh?
He brought down fire from heaven in judgment. Now, this guy, he is a miracle worker. Ben Marcus Bogard used to say, he said, a lie can get 100 miles before the truth can get its boots on. He used to say that, and that's exactly the way it is. Anytime God does something, the devil will imitate it, and it'll go like wildfire. Because it's going to be relating to the flesh. Everybody in this world, well, not everybody, many people in this world want a religion that they can feel and a God that they can see and touch. They do.
Maybe even manipulate.
Yeah. Well, look at this one. Look at this one. Now, have they got a God they can see? Well, he's a God to them. Have they got a religion they can feel? They're going to be excited about it. They're going to be shouting hallelujahs, but in the wrong way. Verse number 14. You got that one, Brother John?
Yes. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived.
Oh, Lord. We saw this in false religion in the beginning, didn't we? Now and today, if you go into a Catholic church, first thing you're going to see? A crucifix, an image of Christ. And they'll bow down and go through obeisance. That worked real good, didn't it? Huh? It worked real good. So what do you think Lucifer's going to do now? He's going to imitate that. It worked in false religion, and that's going to work in his false religion again, isn't it? All right. Number 15. Have you got that one, Tony? Number 15. Revelation 13 and verse 15.
He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed.
All right. What happened in the Dark Ages? What brought on the Dark Ages?
The repression of study.
What brought on the Dark Ages?
Well,
who brought on the Dark Ages?
The church took the Word of God.
All right, the Catholic Church brought it. Well, the Pope and the Dark Ages. The Pope and the Catholic Church initiated the Dark Ages. Why? They repressed learning. What happened when Galileo finally figured out that the earth was round? If he'd have read the Bible, he'd have got it anyway. It's there in the Bible. But what did the Catholic Church do to him?
Persecuted
him. They said, I'll kill you if you don't say the earth is flat. The earth was round all the time. The Bible says it's round. But did Catholicism read the Bible? No. They had constant revelations through their Pope. And they told them what to do. This is what we call the dogmas. The Catholic Church, the Inquisition of the whole world. Look in California. I'm going to give you an example of this. South America is where Columbus came, all right? In Central America. They took a lot of things back to Europe, and they started making trips back over here. But what happened along the coast of America? Over here.
Missions were built.
What were those missions? Those missions were slave plantations. That's what they were. And they killed every Indian in California. If you wouldn't go to a mission and become a slave, you were a dead man. They hunted them like wild animals. Now, on the East Coast, someone else came to the East Coast. Who was the other bunch that came to the East Coast?
Quakers, Pilgrims.
Quakers, Pilgrims, and the Church of England. All right? How many ever heard of an Indian princess?
Pocahontas.
An Indian princess? That's how that all got started. There were no such thing as Indian princesses. I got news for you. But when the Protestants came to the East Coast, they came in and they weren't totally honest with the Indians. They always made treaties with them. They never kept the treaties. But they made treaties with them and they wanted somebody here to be a king. And so they appointed chiefs over the tribes. A chief really didn't exist among the Indians. He was a leader. Only a leader, and he was only a leader as long as he was a leader. That's all. And he was elected. Pure democracies. America was peopled by pure democracies from the east to the west coast. Every tribe was a democracy. And they elected leaders for everything. If they had to protect themselves, if they had to have a war or whatever, they elected the leaders every time. And the leaders were elected by who was the bravest. The feathers in their, what we call the war bonnets, those weren't war bonnets. Those were crowns of honor. And each one of those feathers represented some tremendously brave deed that that person did, or some deed that he had done to help others. Every one of them, that's what you call coup feathers. And the more of them he had, the more honor he had from the tribe. They'd take them away from him if he became dishonorable too. And some of them had shirts, and what they call the shirt man. And that shirt was made by all the women of the tribe, and they tied their hair to it. And if the man did not continue to live like he should have, they took his shirt away from him. That's when the first man lost his shirt. You ever hear about that? All right, that's where that term came from, a lot of these things. Well, they were leaders. On the East Coast, they appointed chiefs to sign the paper. You couldn't sign a paper among Indian tribe. Everybody was equal in the Indian tribe. But they appointed chiefs, which they called princes. And they would give them medals and things, and they'd say, "You're the chief of this tribe." Well, the rest of the tribe looked there and said, what's going on here? They didn't kind of like that, but they were Europeanizing the Indians. So therefore you have the Indian princesses. It was false altogether. But in the East Coast, They recognized them as an independent people, and they made treaties with them. The Catholic Church on the West Coast killed everybody and made slaves out of them. There was no freedom here at all. Why? Because that's what Catholicism had done to the world. Simple as that. And they brought in the Dark Ages. All right, so now we have another Inquisition. Who was talking about the Inquisition the other day? Was that you, Brother Ron?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The Inquisition. Now we have another Inquisition. Right here. Let's go on. Where did we finish off?
Well, we had that.
All right. As many as did not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Okay? In under the Catholic Church, you either were baptized or you got the sword right at your throat. You were what we call Christianized or killed. That was the story. They conquered with the sword. Now the Muslims saw that back then. They're still doing that, aren't they? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, during the Muslims haven't changed. Catholicism had to change because the world wouldn't put up with it any longer. But the ones that they were fighting with back then, the Muslims, you know, the Catholics and the Muslims were fighting back and forth all through Europe, back and forth, conquer this way, then go back that way. Well, they haven't changed. That's why they have got the same attitudes. It's what we call a Dark Age attitude. Now here we have the world goes back into the Dark Ages again now. All right. Number 16. Who's got number 16? Adriana? All right, go on a little further. The mark of the beast. You can write this one down. This is the mark of the beast. The mark of the world religion. We have an unholy trinity running things. We have the military leader, we have the political leader, and we have the spiritual leader all in one group. Okay, go on now.
And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
All right. No one's going to buy or sell. Now he has total, complete control. To even born, to go When you're born in America today, guess what you get? Social Security number. That gives your citizen number and the year that you're born and all kinds of stuff in that Social Security number. You know that for many years, especially Baptists and Mennonites and the Amish would not take a Social Security number at all. Did you know that? Because they said that's the mark of the beast. We're going to go on and look a little bit further now because it's just kind of scary. Okay? All right, Adriana, what's in the next one say?
Verse 18. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast.
Okay, now let's stop right there. It didn't say to the church, did it?
No.
All right. Let him hear. Who can hear? Okay? Go ahead.
For it is the number of a man. His number is 666.
All right. 666. 666. All right. What's the number of man in the Bible?
Six.
This we have, God is going to turn man loose on man. That's exactly what's going to happen. God is going to, the evil that is in man, the Adamic nature, God is going to turn man loose on man and just see how good they are. The evolutionists say that everybody thinks it's going to get better until the whole world is brought into total absolute harmony. That's their idea. And man is evolving from the wild creature that he was into a civilized being. Well, those civilized beings are going to be working each other over during the tribulation period. All right? And 666.
Somebody said six is one brick short of a loaf. Seven is sickly.
Six. Six is the number of man. On what day was man created? Six days. All right. 666. What it is the triuneness of man, the triune evil of man is going to be turned loose on man. But it's three digits, isn't it? How many digits are you in Social Security number?
Three.
Groups.
Three groups.
Three groups. That's a little spooky.
Somebody said that this is not the tribulation period, so it really, it doesn't really
mouth much, but all of the
it's just getting ready for it.
Has all the groundwork been laid for the Antichrist?
Yes.
All right. During the Dark Ages, were the church and state one?
Yes.
Were they?
Yeah, they sure were.
Where do we have it moving today? Shivering. Let your hair stand on end, people. That's exactly where it's going again.
Okay, but the American Civil Liberties Union says you have separation church and the state.
Well, Baptists have stood for that for 2,000 years, a separation of church and state.
Yeah, but is it?
But the real church and state hasn't anything to do with what you do with your Bible in the classroom. The real church and state is when you become a member of the state, you're a member of the church. Now, during the tribulation period, when you're born, you're going to be a member of that church. And during the Dark Ages, when you were born, now Baptists believe in baptizing adults that know how to be saved, that know that they are saved, don't we? We believe in adult baptism. We baptize adult people. They make a profession of faith, and we baptize them, don't we? Now, babies can't make a profession of faith. Well, that's why you have godmothers and godfathers in the Catholic Church. And in the Anglican Church and all of this, okay? Godmothers and Godfathers. Because somebody has to make your profession of faith for you. When the priest baptizes a child, the Godfather comes forward and the Godmother, and what do they say? Do you believe in the Holy Trinity and so on and so forth? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And somebody says yes for the child, okay? Then when the child becomes 12 years old, he goes through catechism, and then he is confirmed, all right? That's going to be a state religion again, people. We already had it in the Dark Ages. It worked, didn't it? Is it still working today? How many of you were Catholics before? Boy, look at that. When you come to the truth, it sure sets you free, doesn't it? But your eyes are open, too. I'm going to teach a class on church history again on Sunday night. I hope. Well, how many of you would like to come to that on Sunday night on church history? All right. I'm going to teach that again, and we're going to study all how things began and how things evolved in church history. Let's go on a little bit further now. The 14th chapter of Revelation now. The Lamb and 144,000 on Mount Zion. Where is Mount Zion, by the way?
Jerusalem.
It's in Jerusalem. All right, it's not too far from the Dome of the Rock, is it? Not very far from there.
Right there.
All right. Number 14, Brother Lee, you've got this thing open in your Bible there. 14 and verse 1.
Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their forehead.
All right. Now, what we have in the last verse of the 13th chapter, we have all of the Antichrist people numbered and branded. They're branded. All right, they've been marked. The word in Greek is the brand. Now, did you know that the United States, in high security situations today, that everyone in high security has a number under their skin? Did you know that? Right now? How many of you knew that? All right. You are imprinted and implanted with a security device that they go to a computer and it reads it. All right? That's already in existence today. If you have a pet or a horse or a dog or something of some sort, can you put down, they want to put a little implant in? Is the technology here to do this?
Yes.
All right? Well, you know what? God is going to number and mark His people too. You know that when you are born again, that you are marked for eternity to be with God? Isn't that beautiful? You're marked already.
Here's a question for you.
Marked in your heart. Yes, Brother Grandy.
Is this mark of the beast as firmament?
Is permanent?
Is it?
I believe it is.
I mean,
once you've been marked, you can't get unmarked. Now today, let me throw something else here that I don't know all about. There was a guy who wrote a book one time, a missionary Baptist preacher. I can't remember the name of the book. I've got it at home. Or his name, very famous speaker and preacher and teacher. And he says, just like when you're born again of God, you never can turn around. When you're really born of Satan, there is no way to turn around. Did you know that? Now, there's a lot of places in the Bible. I could teach two or three classes on this. The guy wrote a whole book on it. I mean, a thick book, about 400 pages. When you're born of Satan, why do you think that people like getting Jehovah's Witnesses in the church, a Mormon church and stuff like that, why do you think so many of them, never come out of there? Have you ever talked to somebody and brought the truth to somebody that was a Mormon?
It's awfully hard.
You know why? Because they're born of Satan. Once you're born of Satan, now this is scary. We could go through a lot of places in the Bible. I'm just going to throw this out. This will give you something to study for the next 40 years, okay? I did. Once you're born of Satan, you're locked up. You're locked out from God. Once you're born again, what? You're born of God. There was one man aborted in the Bible. One man that was an abortion, and he said he was an abortion. Who was he? The Apostle Paul. He said on the road to Damascus, he said, God aborted me. I was born out of time. I was aborted. Why? Because he had already signed his heart on Satan's dotted line in that false religion. Why did the high priest continue to try to suppress the truth even after Christ was resurrected? They were religious. They knew the Old Testament because they were born of Satan. Man, that's a hard thing, isn't it?
They have a choice.
Oh, yeah, they had a choice. Yeah. Every man has a choice.
Yeah, well, it almost sounds as if you're teaching that maybe they're born of Satan, they didn't have a choice.
Oh, they have a choice. They rejected God. Did every one of them hear Jesus Christ preach? All right? Every one of them heard Jesus Christ preach. Remember when they slapped him, beat him, and crucified him and called for his death? That ought to just shiver, make you shiver. You know what? The religious world out there today is scary. And it's getting scarier every moment. You ought to be you ought to be happy that you know the truth. You happy you know the truth?
Yes.
Happy you've been born again? Well, like, these people here are born again, but they're born the wrong way.
The overwhelming theme of Revelation, as long as man has a breath, he has the ability to come to God.
Mm-hmm. But you make a choice. When you take that mark, the choice is now over. It's now over. Brother Richard.
How are you born of Satan?
How are you born of Satan? By rejecting God. And you fall for Satan's lines.
So all of these people that have not accepted Jesus Christ are...
Well, every time that you reject Jesus Christ, you drive one more nail in your coffin. You harden your heart. What happens? Here we go back to the book of Genesis now, where this happened. What did God do to Pharaoh? Did God make Pharaoh an unbeliever? Huh? What did he do?
Pharaoh hardened his heart.
Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. But at the end of the story, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He sealed his doom. And he chased after Israel, didn't he? Here it is, the same story all the way through Scripture. We can go all the way from Genesis to Revelation and we can see these people's hearts get hard. First of all, they make a choice. They make a choice to go into a false religion. For whatever choice that is. They make a choice to go into it. And do you think God ever... I have witnessed to Jehovah's Witness. I have led about 2 Jehovah's Witnesses out of Jehovah's Witness assembly. All right? I've read about 2 of them out, maybe 2 or 3 Mormons in my life. That's all. They weren't sealed. Yeah, brother.
They're probably saying to the last breath, can't they? Can't.
Well,
the mark,
once you take the mark, it's over with. If you're going, now, look on the other side of the coin. Now, here we have God's people sealed on that are sealed by God. What is happening to God's people? They are being faithful unto death. Now, what does it say here? They are faithful unto death. Unto death, because no more mercy. The age of grace, the age of mercy is over with. When Satan has control of this world for that short period of time, he's going to kill anybody that's a Christian that's not his child. All right?
But at this time, they still can...
There are people saved in the world, yes. There are thousands.
At this time, in our time,
oh yes,
they're in this cult or whatever.
Uh-huh.
They still have that chance.
They can have they have a chance. And every one of them,
child of Satan or whatever you want to call them, but they still have that chance to left.
That's right.
So you do differentiate today
definitely.
Jehovah's Witness can be saved.
Jehovah's Witnesses can be saved, but many of them.
But once the people take the mark of the beast.
In the tribulation,
yeah. That seals their doom. They can't reverse.
They're sealed. There's no reverse decision there.
Well,
that gives you an idea today. If you know somebody in false religion, start boning up on this stuff and start witnessing to them.
In verse 16, it says, "And he, referring to Satan, causeth all both great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark." So Satan.
Yeah.
Satan causes his to
receive the mark, and they are marked by him.
Well, Jim, they reject, they got the word of God right here.
Yeah.
False religions reject this and go their own way.
Yeah, they go on. Yeah, today people can be saved, but why aren't many of them saved? Because they've already been born of Satan. Okay, that happened. Paul was saved during the church age, and he said he was born of Satan. He was aborted. All right, he was changed. There was one man that was totally changed. God took a hold of him and turned him around.
But the people who are saved during the tribulation, they also will be marked, won't they?
Yes. They will be marked by God. All right?
Brother Phillips?
Yes.
In John chapter 8, verse 44, the Lord speaking, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your fathers you want to do.
That's right. There's another. I could have gone back to all these. Every time that John spoke to the Pharisees, he said, "You what? You brood of Satan, of serpents." Because they were born of Satan. And what does it say there now? Here we have Jesus speaking.
You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do.
He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his resources, for he is a liar and the father of it.
All right, now these people have been born of Satan. Jesus could see it. John could see it. We don't know who is born of Satan, do we? So this witness to all of them. Some of them can be saved. People in Catholicism are in a false religion. But I have had more success seeing people saved out of Catholicism than I have any other false religion. And when they are saved, they are really hungry for the Word of God. It thrills me. Thrills my heart. Rosalind.
You're a Catholic, but you said Jesus is your Lord and Savior.
I have probably known Catholics that are saved, but there are very few. I was talking about a person here a while back. I was going to go witness to him before he died. He was terminally ill, and he was very religious and very devout Catholic. But I don't know. His wife said to me, "I hope he's in a safe place." You know what? I couldn't say yes or no. I couldn't say yes or no. The truth sets you free. The truth sets you free, not false religion. That's it, Randino.
I was going to say that if you are saved, you can stay there because of the false teaching.
Yeah.
You cannot continue worshiping the idol.
It really is hard to stay there. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that much. God will usually lead you out. I'll tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit only leads you one way, to God's churches.
Yeah.
I mean it. The Holy Spirit only leads you one place after you've been saved, and that's to God's churches. Otherwise, you are right against
it. You're bound to it. You're tied into it.
The biggest block is the Muslims. They are really...
Well, they're locked up, brother. There are a few of them saved. We have a Arabic church here. Let's go on a little further now. We don't want to stay here forever. All right. Verse 2, 14 and verse 2. Now, first of all, did we go with 14 and verse 1 where his name and the name of his father is written on their foreheads?
Yes.
All right. Verse 2 then. Who has got verse 2? Have you got that, Richard? Or Marjorie? 14 and verse 2. Now, we had a person that is exactly right for this verse. I thought I was going to get Richard and Marjorie to read this one. You know why? They're great musicians. Now, what is it saying right here in this verse? What range of sounds are there? There are basses, lows, and there are mid-range and highs and trebles. What do you see in that verse? All the range of sounds in it. All of the range of sounds. Let's look at this. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters. What does many waters sound like? I was in a flood a few times. Water is really thunder, don't they? That's a real deep sound, a bass sound. It shakes the ground, okay? Like the sound of loud thunder. What's thunder sound like?
Percussion drums.
Oh, deep. All right, and it cracks also. And the voice I heard was like the sound of harpist. What kind of sounds are those? Highs to lows, aren't they? But not as deep as a deep drum sound. Playing on their harps. All the range of sound we hear in heaven. God loves good music. He does. God loves good music. He loves it. That's why you play in it, Brother Richard. You touch people's hearts with music. And that young lady back there, we got one of the greatest singers around here, right there. She's great. We're going to have to get you to sing for us one of these days in the class and play at the end or something. I know you got to go over there back and forth all the time. We're one of the leaders in the worship service. All right, number 3, Marjorie.
And it sang in their song before the four living creatures and the elders.
Okay, now let's hold it on right there now. The four living creatures. Those aren't. Bugs or anything like that. These are four living beings. Remember, they're not creatures, but they're beings. So you mark out creatures and you put down these are created beings to lead out in the worship of God. These aren't just bugs or animals or something like Satan created. Okay, go ahead, Marjorie.
But they're not angels.
I don't know what they are. They're living beings of some sort. All right. There's another thing I don't know. Okay, but I know they're living beings. They're not creatures. Okay. All right, they've been purchased or redeemed from the earth. God redeemed them. How did He redeem these people? How was the only... You know, there's only one way to be saved, all the way from right here, from this age, all the way through here. There's only one way of salvation. And what is that way of salvation? Proselytes too at that time, brother.
Well,
this is one time when Israel was really supposed to proselyte.
Well,
remember what Israel was supposed to do? They were supposed to be God's representative to the whole earth. All during this age here, of Israel and the law, they were supposed to be God's representative to the earth. Did, according to history, did Abraham ever baptize anybody or circumcise anybody? He sure did. How many people did he have in his own family and nation? He was a nation. I'm telling you, hundreds, thousands. All right, he was a representative. When Israel, when God called out Israel to be the administrator of His kingdom on earth, they were supposed to witness to all the world. But they didn't. Matter of fact, Jesus said, He says, "You go far and wide to make proselytes, but you make them two times double a son of Satan than you are." You give them the wrong story, the wrong gospel. All right, so Israel is going to be leading out in the service and the administration of reaching people with the gospel. All right, they'll know what the gospel is then. They'll have no problem with the gospel. All right, verse number four. Are you a young lady? Do you have your Bible open right there? Revelation 14 and verse 4.
"These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being fruitful, first fruits to God and to the Lamb."
All right. Now these are the people, the first fruits of the Lamb, of God. These are the first fruits that Israel brought to God. Every year, the first fruits. Remember, they were supposed to bring the feast of first fruits. Well, now, during the tribulation period, now that they're really the administrator of God's kingdom on earth, they're going to do it for a whole 1,000 years. They're just practicing right now during this last 3.5 years. But now they are bringing forth proselytes that are really born again. Isn't that beautiful?
144,000 will be men.
They will be really men. Okay, now let's go back and look. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women. Now, this woman in the book of Revelation, this is the bride of the Antichrist. And she is the one that, she was the forerunner of the bride of the Antichrist with Catholicism during the Dark Ages. She's going to do exactly what Catholicism did in the Dark Ages. The story is just going to get, people that don't study history are fools and bound to repeat it, one historian once said. All right. "These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with..." It says literally Parthenia. Parthenos. Parthenos means virgins. Okay? These are virgins. Spiritual virgins. It doesn't mean they're celibates, but it means they're spiritual virgins. And in the Old Testament, what did God call Israel? He called her a harlot. He said, "I espouse to myself a chaste virgin." All right? But He said, "Now I have a prostitute." These are virgins, spiritual virgins, okay? "These are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Jesus says, 'My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me.'" Didn't He say that? "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. These have been purchased from among men as the first fruits of God to the Lamb." All right? Now we have, Jesus was not only the Lamb, but He was the Shepherd, wasn't He? He was the Lamb and the Shepherd. Psalm 23. How many of you ever heard Psalm 23? I think everybody in this, not probably even in the Muslim world, has heard Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. All right? David wrote this psalm. He wrote this psalm as his idea of heaven. That was a shepherd's heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. I won't have any need. I'm going to have food in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to get to lay down, and I'm going to get to lay down in green pastures. I'm going to get the best of everything. Just go study about heaven for a while. That's what it's talking about. Number five. Are you still there?
Mm-hmm. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault.
All right. All right. They are blameless. Why? Do you think they were blameless? Was Israel blameless during Christ's time? The Catholic Church one time, the Pope wanted to appease the Jewish people. So what did he say? He said, well, actually the Jews didn't crucify Jesus. It was the Roman government. Well, the Roman government didn't live. It wasn't in existence anymore. So we wasn't hurting anybody's feelings, was it? All right? Because they didn't exist anymore. But he took the blame off of them. But who is the blame of the crucifixion of Christ? Israel. All right. Martin Luther, John Calvin so hated Israel, they wanted Israel to be annihilated from history. He wanted them to be wiped out. Going a little bit further. All right. Claudia, are you still there?
Yes.
All right.
And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in the earth, to every nation, tribe, and people.
All right. Now let's look at this. During the church age, who's supposed to preach the gospel?
The church.
All right. So this evidently isn't the church age, is it? We have two witnesses that have been preaching the gospel. We have Israel preaching the gospel again. Now we have angels flying through heaven preaching the gospel. All right. During the administration of Israel, did angels ever appear? Huh? Well, sure they did. Go back and think about it for a while. Think about the angels that appeared. There was a time of judgment.
Would it do any good? Would these angels preaching do any good, I wonder?
Oh, yeah. Because what are they preaching? What are they preaching? The everlasting gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1. Someone go there, 1 Corinthians 15. This is the everlasting gospel. Did God preach the gospel to Abraham?
Sure.
Sure He did. All right. The Bible says He did. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Are you there, Adriana? All right.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive and in which you stand.
All right. I preach the gospel. And what is that gospel? If you read on down there, it is what? That Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures, that He died according to the Scriptures, and that He was raised according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. So what are these angels preaching from heaven? Flying in mid-heaven. Where is mid-heaven, by the way? In the atmosphere above the earth. Okay? Now there are three heavens, huh? How many of you saw the space shuttle? Anybody see the space shuttle fly over? That space shuttle was flying out there in mid-heaven. All right? You could see it, couldn't you? How would you react if you saw an angel flying through heaven? This is an age of miracles again. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, were miracles performed? Yeah. Every time at the change of something, we have tremendous miracles and signs. Now during the tribulation period, is the devil going to be doing miracles? All right. Well, God's going to be doing some of them too, Brother Wallace.
Yeah, this also says here, and we're told very often the rapture can't happen until all the nations and all the people have heard the gospel. That's not necessarily true. But these angels sure going to be able to penetrate places that we, the church, can't.
Yeah.
And that's when it's going to happen, I do believe.
Well, I think that the gospel has been preached throughout all the earth. Every man on this earth, I don't care where you are, they have heard the truth one time. since the division of the earth.
And our missionary people tell us that's not always the case.
You go back there and you deal with those people. They know right from wrong. It's indelibly put in their hearts. Romans, the first chapter. There's where you have them. All right. Now, they did this. This was an old story about bringing in the kingdom. You know, and we heard that for so many. Well, it preached for 100 years. But, brethren, that wasn't really the truth. We're not going to bring in the kingdom. You're not going to bring in the kingdom. The Lord's going to bring in the kingdom, and this is how He's going to do it.
But these angels are going to do a pretty good job.
Yeah, here. I want to go want you to see something. Claudia, you read that. Could you read that one more time? 14 and verse 6, please.
Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel.
That's good. What translation is that? Do you know? New King James. All right. They got something right in there. That's a definite article. They got something right in there. It's a definite article. Right here in New American Standard, they got it wrong, people. Because it said, and the everlasting gospel. There is no and no indefinite articles. Indefinite articles are a and. There are no indefinite articles in Greek. So you mark out that A or N, and you put down D in there. Because there is only one gospel, and it's the gospel, okay?
Well, the old King James has D.
Well, that's good, too. They probably put it in there not knowing what they were doing. Number seven. And then we're going to quit. All right. Number seven. Claudia, are you still there?
Yeah. Sing with a loud voice. Hear God.
All right. And then we're going to talk about another angel next week.